Have you ever jumped into the shower to find that you only have cold water? That is one of the most disturbing ways to wake up and start your day. But we've all had that moment happen. And you panic and you start to think, oh my gosh, what is wrong? How do I fix it? And how much is this going to cost me to get my hot water back? Now, this has happened at my house more than once or twice. It has recently happened to a private coaching client of mine. And I want to talk about some of the things that you can do when you get into hot water by not handling this properly. You want to be able to handle this quickly and efficiently and with an empowered attitude of knowing that you understand enough of what's going on that you're not taken advantage of when you do call in a pro. So welcome back to The Empowered Homeowner. I am Beth Allen, your host, and I am a DIY expert, contractor, and educator. Today, I do want to break down a little bit about your hot water heater, how it works, and what you can do to make sure that it is functioning well and handle it properly when it's not. So let's tackle just the essential understanding of how does this thing in your house work. It sits down in your basement or in a utility closet and you pay no attention to it until it decides to malfunction. And then it is your top priority because we're talking showering, washing dishes, washing your hands. So you want to make sure that you are empowered to fix this. Now, what catches your attention? The cold water. Maybe you hear banging down in the basement or weird noises coming out of the tank. Or you have found a leak. Any one of these can be very upsetting. Now, there are different levels of reaction that are needed to all of those, with the leak being the most problematic thing that can go wrong, because you could have 50 gallons of water or more if you don't shut off the inflow, and you could have a ruined basement or utility closet or kitchen, wherever your tank happens to be. So we're going to save money, we're going to save time, we're going to save frustration by getting to know our water heater. One, I hope you all know where it is located in your house. And if you have not taken time to go find that tank and stand beside it, it is time to go on a little scavenger hunt in your own house. Now, when you understand that, let's have a quick review. There are two basic kinds of water heaters. There is the one which is the tank system, and there is the tankless. With the traditional tank type, you can have a large steel drum that is typically, you know, 30 to 50 gallons of water. And the tank of water is heated by either gas or electric, and the water flows into the unit cold, is heated, and is sent out as hot water. Now, the other system is a tankless system. That means that the water comes into a unit that is attached to the wall, and the water that you need heated is heated in the moment. So the water moves through a series of coils and pipes and is heated on demand. So instead of heating a tank of water and keeping that tank of water always at a certain temperature until you need it, the tankless system heats it as you go. There's different benefits to both of those. The tank systems tend to be cheaper at install, whereas the tankless systems are more expensive to install, but cheaper to run long term. The tankless systems may not meet the needs of a big, busy, active family. So you need to do your research to understand which unit is the right one for your house if you are going to replace it as a result of either a leak, a bad unit, or you need to upgrade. Maybe you're building an addition and you have more bathroom space or sinks and now you need more water flowing. But you need to understand the two differences, the tank versus the tankless. Now, again, each of those can be powered by either gas or electric. So you need to understand, do I have a gas line in my house that comes to that? Here's a hint. Gas lines are typically yellow. Not always, but typically they are yellow. So you can look for that yellow hose and do not touch it, okay? Homeowners should not be touching disconnecting, reconnecting, gas lines. Leave that for the pros. But just identify where it is and know what it is. So when the hot water is heated, how does it get hot? With either system, we have a supply line that is bringing the water into that unit. It is bringing it in cold. So the water comes in cold and then it exits hot. So on the top of that tank system, okay, your traditional tank water heater, you will see two popper or perhaps PECs. That means the blue and red pipes. But you will see two pipes coming in and out. So you might have to feel which one is the hot versus which one is the cold. And you'll be able to tell that. Just put your hand on those two lines and you'll just go, oh, this is my hot. This is the line exiting the tank versus the one that is bringing the cold supply in. Now, where that cold supply comes in, there should be a shutoff valve. This is really essential because if there is a leak, you need to be able to shut off any additional water entering that tank. So make sure you know where that shutoff valve is. And I think it's a good idea once a year to turn the handle just to make sure that the handle is not rusted in place. And if there is an active leak, you can't get the handle to budge. So once a year, turn the handle off, turn it right back on. Not a problem. Just make sure that it stays on. If you have a handle that looks like a paddle, okay, it's called a ball valve. It's just one little stem. You want to make sure that it is parallel to the pipe to be on and perpendicular to the pipe to be off. That's how you know. Now, with these two systems for heating the water, okay, we have the gas and we have the electric. The electric is a very simple system, and they tend to be less expensive to replace. The gas-powered units have two potential different ways to allow for the exhaust of residual gas. So with the gas-powered unit, you can have one type which has an atmospheric vent. When you look at the top of it, it looks like a little UFO. Like really, it's like this silver dome disc that sits on the top of the unit. That is a vent for the gas. So that is one style. Another style for gas ventilation in your unit is what we call a power vent. It is an electric fan vent that sits on top of the unit that plugs into the wall with electricity to power that vent. And then the vent is attached to PVC piping that exits the house. And that is how we can avoid buildup of carbon monoxide. So whether you have a atmospheric vent or a power vent, you should have a carbon monoxide detector present in the house. So make sure you have that. But I want you to just take a look and understand some of these parts and understand how this thing works. It's important. This is a big ticket item. Now, the atmospheric vent units are less expensive than the power vent. And, you know, the decision to interchange or have one versus the other should be left up to you having a conversation with the professional based on the plumbing system in your house and construction and all of that. So we're not going to say one is better or than the other. It's a matter of what is best for your house. Now, knowing what kind of unit you have and how they work is really the first part in understanding what to do when things go wrong. Because you can't fix it if you don't know that it's supposed to be that way in the first place. So go on your field trip, head to the basement, and see what you have going on down there. Now, really smart homeowners will know where their manual is. They will know the serial number and the model number of their actual unit. All of that serial number and model number are on the unit. There should be a sticker on the panel that gives you that information. There should also be a 1-800 number for the tech team at that company. And I belong to a number of Facebook groups, community groups, and you see people all the time posting questions like, I have a GE dishwasher and it's leaking. What should I do? Well, who the heck knows, okay? There are so many models and styles and varieties. If you have a problem with an appliance, especially these big ticket appliances, there are 1-800 numbers. There are websites. Look up the tech team's phone number, get them on the phone, and ask them to troubleshoot with you. That is part of the service that you paid into when you paid for the item. So that should be one of your first moves. Of course, your first move, if your water heater is actively leaking on the floor, is to turn off the water flowing in and then start running the taps in the house to quickly drain that unit. And you can always get a garden hose, hook it up to the over for the drain valve on the front of your water heater, and then drain the remaining water into either buckets or a sump pump so that you don't have it spilling uncontrolled onto your floor of either the basement or your utility area. But after you have secured the water flow, call the company and let the pros who made the product troubleshoot for you. And I tell you this because they've done it for me. I have called the water heater company on several occasions, and they have helped me with simple fixes that I could have paid $130 for a plumber to walk through the door and told me the same thing as my free 1-800 phone call and 5 minutes with a tech was able to solve for me. So take the time. But here's the thing. If you don't have your manual, you can call the company and ask them to send it. Some companies actually have PDFs of the manuals right on the website, and you can just download it. And then you have a downloaded manual that you can turn to anytime you need it. So please take the time to do this so that you get the help that you need for your product in the moment that you need the help. So what do you do if you have no hot water? Aside from panic a little bit, what do you do? This can be one of the most frustrating issues. So first is check the thermostat. Did somebody accidentally or on purpose adjust the thermostat temperature setting on the actual unit? So again, have your manual and it'll show you how to adjust the temperature. Typically, most hot water heaters are set around 120. But if you have young children or seniors in the home, it is advised that you drop that temperature down to like 110 to 112. When I was director of nursing at a retirement home, we had to keep our water heaters set at a lower rate so we didn't have any scald issues with senior citizens and their sensitive skin. So be mindful of that, especially if you are bringing newborns home. You may want to be turning down the temperature on your hot water heater. Now, if you have a gas water heater and you're not getting hot water, check the pilot light. So remember, there is a flame that is cooking. Basically, it's a big pot, and we are cooking that water continuously. Now, if the pilot light goes out, we might have it trying to reheat, but it's not because it won't ignite. So think of your kitchen stove if you have gas, or your gas grill. We have the flow of gas, and we have the ignition to cause a spark to ignite that gas and create the heat. If the pilot light goes out, it won't light. And it could also be that the thermocouple won't ignite. These are simple fixes that you can do with some support from a technician. Now, if you have an electric water heater, what about the circuit breaker? Has it tripped? Do you just need to reset a breaker so that you can get the hot water heater going again? Now, if you have a gas unit with a power vent on the top, it could be that the power vent became unplugged or got turned off or that that breaker tripped. So it's about troubleshooting and seeing what might have happened in the series of things that make this unit powered and run efficiently. What happened? Why did the water just stop heating up all of a sudden? Now, there's a really simple thing that people overlook, and that is that things accidentally got turned off. We had an issue once that our furnace stopped running, and it turns out one of my kids had been down in the basement and had moved some boxes and bumped the switch on the side of the furnace. No big deal. We were able to just flip the switch. But had I called in a pro because the switch had gotten flipped, I want you to check these things and kind of go through a little checklist before you make that phone call. Now, if you get in the shower and it starts off nice and toasty, and within a couple minutes it starts to just totally freeze you out, there could be a problem with something called a dip tube. A dip tube is a plastic tube that runs from the top of the water heater to the bottom of the tank. And the purpose of the dip tube is that it directs the cold water coming in down to the bottom so it can be reheated and the water can be moved and it heated equally. So imagine if you were taking a pot of boiling water and you just trickled water at the top of the pot. Well, that water at the top of the pot is not going to heat as quickly as the water at the bottom. So the dip tube pushes the cold down towards the bottom so it can all be heated more efficiently and more evenly for that shower. Now, what can happen is that that dip tube can either break off over time. It's plastic. So you could have fragments of dip tube in your tank, and maybe the dip tube, instead of being 36 inches, is now 12 inches so that the water is sitting at the top of the tank and not getting heated. The dip tube typically is like less than $40 for this part. In some cases, if you're really savvy and you have good plumbing tools, you could change the dip tube yourself. There's tons of videos out there on how to do it. But call the company and walk through that. When I had a problem with a dip tube, they sent me the dip tube for free. So I got my part for free and I was able to do the repair myself, except for one step. I didn't have enough strength. I am a female. We don't have the same hand and upper body strength as some of the men. That's our only disadvantage, ladies. But I did ask my plumber to come over with the right torque of the wrench to get that old dip tube out and replace it. Now, my guy is great. He didn't charge me for that. I send him so much business. He was happy to give me a hand. But this was a simple, 1 hour less kind of repair. What I'm telling you this for is, if you have something like this going on, knowing what is possibly wrong will save you money, because instead of a plumber coming in and saying, oh, you need a whole new unit, it's going to be $1,500 for the unit and then $1,000 for an install, it's a $40 part that should take, you know, 45 minutes max to swap out. Be educated and you will save yourself money. Now, what other problems can be going on in your water heater? Well, leaks. Leaks are one of the biggest problems that we have with water heaters. And what do you do? Where is it leaking from? And why is it leaking? Does it mean that the unit is shot? Or does it mean that I just have to tighten up some connections? This is why, again, you need to know what parts are what on the whole unit. Now, what can go wrong? We could have a faulty connection that is just loose and it needs to be tightened. We could have an issue of a crack in the actual tank. Sometimes we could have a crack on the internal tank, not just the outside. We could have a rusted out bottom. That was one of our problems. You know, the tank was well past its warranty and the bottom completely rusted out. And there can also be an issue with a faulty pressure relief valve. So this is basically a tin can that's under pressure, right? With the water and the gas and all of the stuff that's going on to create this heated water for you. You need to pay attention to exactly where the water is leaking from. Now, on most units, there is the hot line coming out, the cold line coming in, and then there's also an expansion tank on the side that can be elevated above. It looks like a little mini balloon, right? It's a pipe that comes up and then there's this little tank on the top. There's also a pressure relief valve and a pipe that goes down the side of the unit. Where in all of these connections is the leak happening? So when you get to call your pro, you can tell him, I have a leak. It's coming from the hot water line coming out of the unit, or it is coming from underneath the tank. Tell him where you see the water and not just it's leaking. This way he has an understanding of what's going on. If the bottom is rusted out and it's leaking from underneath, it's often that the whole unit has to be replaced. If it's coming from a top, from one of the connections, Sometimes you just need some pipes to be replaced or tightened. Totally different price point in terms of getting that repaired. Now, it's important to understand that if you have a leak in a water heater, if you have a drip pan underneath, that is a blessing. So anytime you have a new water heater installed, you want to make sure that you are getting a drip pan included in that project. Many plumbers, and I don't know why, fail to prompt homeowners in getting the drip pan. The drip pan is either plastic or metal, and they come in various sizes to meet the size and shape of the tank. So it's basically a large circle tray. Think of it as like a baking dish for a cake, right? You're going to lay that underneath the tank when it is installed. You cannot add the drip pan after the unit is installed because the pipes have been set and the unit is now filled with water. So you want to do this at time of install, typically $40 or less for a drip pan. If your plumber doesn't prompt you, you go to Home Depot or Lowe's, you get one. Just you have to know the diameter of your unit so that you can get the right size tray to fit underneath it. It will save you because when the water collects in there, it's not all over your floor. And then the other thing to deal with water leaks, or basically to be aware of water leaks so that you don't have a massive damage from flooding, is a water alarm. I am a huge fan of water alarms. I have 8 water alarms in my house because I know the destruction that water can cause in a home. So you have the water heater with the pan underneath and a water alarm in that pan. So any little trace of water starts to leak out, an alarm's going to go off and you can deal with it before it becomes 30 gallons of water on the floor. So definitely check those out. I will have a link to my Amazon favorite products. And in there, I have a couple different styles of water alarms for you to take a look at. And that'll be in the show notes. Now, what do you do when your water heater is making strange noises? Well, it can be making strange noises because there's sediment. So you have to pay attention to that as well. There could be rumbling, popping, banging noises. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to just explode right here in this spot. It's not going to explode, but you do want to pay attention. It could be that you have sediment that is interfering with the flow of water. Now, some manufacturers will recommend that you once or twice a year drain the entire tank to clear it of any sediment. And sediment, I mean mineral deposits that are in our water that collect and can really be like a grit or sand at the bottom of the tank. So read your manual. It will walk you through how to actually do this, when to do it. And it's not a very difficult thing. It requires a garden hose and just following the steps to turn off the unit and flush it properly. It is a very DIY doable task that any homeowner can follow through on. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've never done it. In my house, my plumber was like, you don't absolutely have to. Some plumbers will say yes, some plumbers will say no. Our tanks tended to last well beyond the warranty, so we were doing pretty good. So I was happy with the quality of our units. We didn't have any issues. Now, what do you do if the water takes too long to heat up? Well, you could have an issue, and it could be that the pipes are just too cold. So I want to take a pause and hear from our friends at Frost King with some products that will help you keep those pipes warm so you don't have cold showers. When the seniors in your life are facing a new chapter, the journey can be overwhelming. At Senior Transition Services, they understand that relocating isn't just about moving things. It's about honoring a lifetime of memories while preparing for a new lifestyle. While serving Bucks and Montgomery counties, the Main Line, and Northeast Philadelphia, they provide expert move preparation and downsizing assistance with a focus on empathy and compassion. They guide you and your loved ones every step of the way, identifying which items could be moved, ensuring that treasured belongings find new homes and cherished memories are preserved. Embrace this new phase of life with confidence and peace of mind. Senior Transition Services, where your past is honored and your future is embraced. Call today at 215-947-5490. When it comes to weatherizing your home, whether it's the heat of the summer or the cold of the winter, your go-to is the Frost King. Frost King has been the nation's go-to resource in weatherizing your home from drafts and bugs and water infiltration for decades. My favorite product is the reusable Weather Seal. This thin product can go on any door or window. It is lightweight, it is white in color to blend into all of your door frames, and it is completely repositionable. So if you are looking for the perfect weather seal, your go-to is the Frost King. So when your water is taking too long to heat up, the Frost King pipe wraps are great to keep that water hot that's moving from the hot water heater. So if you have a water heater that's on the complete opposite end of the house from where your shower is, you can insulate those pipes where you can access them in crawl spaces or basement ceilings so that you get that warmer shower and the water stays warm for you. Now, again, let's review some of those things. You want to know your unit well. You want to know where the manual is so you can look up troubleshooting tips. You want to be able to identify where are the leaks coming from. Am I having a problem with the water not heating, or is it just the beginning of the shower, the end of the shower? These are all things you want to have a conversation with your pro before you bring him in. But my best tip for you, make sure you have a conversation with your pro before you say, come on over to my house and deal with my hot water heater. What is the flat fee to come in? What do you charge for a new one? And how long do you think it's going to take? Ask the questions, be empowered, and be in charge of leading this repair so that you spend your money wisely and get the project done. Remember, doing it yourself doesn't mean doing it alone.